We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It is the phone number. Always a pleasure to welcome to the program my good buddy Mark Canizaro. Of course, does a great job for the Post. He covers football. He covers the golf. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Are you in Cromwell? Is that where you are?
I am. I am covering a live golf tournament. Yes, it's somewhat refreshing. Yeah. Live sports.
Before we get to that, I want to talk to you about the Jamal Adams thing too. But you're up there. I want to talk about it. Mackenzie Hughes today goes pretty low, 10 under par, 60. How about his round today, Mark?
Pretty incredible. I mean, 10 birdies and no blemishes on the card, Joe. And
yeah, 10 birdies today. 10 birdies.
10 birdies, no bogey.
I haven't got 10 birdies in 2 years, I just want to say.
I haven't. I can't. Maybe it hasn't been. I don't know. It probably might be 10 for me, too. You know, he had a chance to get to 59 on he drove it in the rough, but didn't have a terrible lie. And, you know, he gave himself a putt at it on his last hole, which was the ninth hole, because he started number 10 today. And, you know, it's funny. I actually asked him about, you know, what is 59? You know, 59 is a magical number for golfers like you and me, because we're hitting 59 about the 12th hole.
Not to interrupt you, Mark, but didn't Furyk shoot a 58 up there at Cromwell?
Well, that's where I was getting at. I asked Mackenzie about, what does 59 mean to a guy like you? You know, where hacks like us are, you know, hitting, you know, we're a 59 at about the 13th hole or whatever it is. But, and he was kind of laughing about it. He's never shot 59 even casually, not in tournament play. He's had a couple of 61s, he said. But he said, even if he shot 59 here, because Furyk has a 58 a few years ago, you know, it'll probably be less of a big deal around here. Like, oh, ho-hum, he just shot 59. Well, Furyk had a 58. So,
right.
59 for guys of these guys' level is a real magic number. You know, it's like, you know, it's kind of breaking the four-minute mile thing.
Right.
Runner. We were all kind of anticipating it when he got to the point, you know, at number nine, and he had a chance for it, and unfortunately it didn't unfold. But 60 is not a bad go either. And Patrick Cantlay, as an amateur a few years ago, shot 60 here, as a matter of fact, which was kind of interesting. So, yeah, great round, and it was perfect in scoring conditions. I don't know if you've had it on television at all.
I'm watching it right now. Yep.
I mean, it's like the course is in mint shape, and there's been no wind. It's a little breezier this afternoon, but this morning it was just like, you know, my ex, Mark Leishman, said, I've never seen this golf course, you know, this as gettable as it was today. So, perfect scoring conditions, and the morning guys always have the advantage with the smoother greens, too.
And a very good leaderboard. I mean, you got Rory at 7 under. Xander Schauffele, who's still on the course now, has gotten up to 6 under. Sergio's 6 under. Phil Mickelson is 6 under. I mean, you got a lot of... You know, Bryson DeChambeau, I believe, is 5 under. You got a lot of, you know, big name guys up on that leaderboard right now, Mark.
Yeah, I was walking with Phil. You know, what kind of a cool threesome. You had Phil, Bryson DeChambeau, and Rory.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Those guys were 18 under amongst the three of them. Which is, you know, you, me, and a pro couldn't be 18 under at a scramble. You know?
Tell me
so
about
that's
it.
That's pretty, you know, handicap scramble. So
right.
Yeah, that was some pretty good fun golf to watch. These guys, they kind of, you know, certain, yeah, you see these things in golf tournaments sometimes, Joe, where guys in the group kind of feed off each other a little bit. And I kind of had that feeling today because they were all playing well, and he just had that, you know, they just kind of kept it going, and there were a lot of birdies, but nobody did what Mackenzie Hughes did today, obviously.
Yeah, no question about it. How about the field? Now I know you were at the Charles Schwab, and I don't know if you were in Hilton Head last week or not, but you know, the experience now with no fans, how's been the feel there today at Cromwell?
It's strange. You know, I was not, I didn't do Hilton Head last year.
Okay.
Last week I did do, as you know, as we spoke on the air, Colonial, that was even more weird to me because, you know, personally, it was the first time I've been away from home in 3 months and did all the traveling. But this, I'm actually just commuting. I'm driving back and forth from the city every day here. I'm not even staying in a hotel. So, but in terms of the vibe at the place, you know, yeah, I mean, when you see a guy going 10 under, 260, and you hear nothing on a golf course, Abraham Ancer had a hole-in-one on the 16th hole today, and he was looking around for people to high-five, but you can't high-five anybody, you know, and there was no crowd screaming. And you guys, I think you've done some shows up here, Joe, if I'm not mistaken,
right? Oh, yes,
right?
Absolutely, no question.
And, you know, that hole, that, you know, for our listeners, you know, the finishing stretch here is really as fun as there is any in golf. And you go like 15, 16, 17, 18 around that lake, and it's just a great atmosphere. And that's really where it's mostly missed. All the players are talking about the fact that they can see all the way up to the clubhouse, you know, for the 15th hole, where normally there'd be gigantic, you know, grandstands and banks of fans all over the place. But so, yeah, Rory said even today, because somebody asked him, after his round, you know, this is his third tournament. Is it starting to feel normal? He said, no, it doesn't feel normal at all. I mean, there's nothing normal about this. You know, obviously, we're still in the middle of the pandemic, and the tour is tiptoeing its way through this. And, you know, we had kind of a weird, kind of an unsettling day yesterday where, you know, with all the, you know, there's a lot of rumors swirling around. And, you know, with the tournament lost Brooks Koepka and Graham McDowell because their caddies were tested positive. So nothing's normal, really. But, you know, listen, I think we all at this point just have to embrace, like we're going to with the NBA and the NHL, you know, and baseball, if it ever gets rolling again. We just kind of have to embrace what we have, you know, in this time that we have it, and just kind of hope that we're entertained. Well, you know, we will be entertained.
Yeah, no question about it. Talking to Mark Cannizzaro, who is up at River Highlands here with the Travelers. I guess the other guy, too, Cameron Champ, who has the best swing speed on the tour. I guess he also tested positive yesterday as well, right, Mark?
Yeah, he did. He tested positive on Tuesday. That the word came out on that. And so really, you know, you've had now two players test positive. You know, you've had Nick Watney the first week and Cameron. You know, the three players that withdrew yesterday, you know, none of them tested positive. I mean, Brooks Koepka and his brother Chase, which was kind of a cool story too. Chase Koepka, who has no status on the tour, barely has status on the Korn Ferry Tour, Monday qualified to get in here, and he was going to get a chance to play here, and that's a big deal for a guy like that. I actually literally just spoke to the tournament director a little while ago, Nathan Grube, who you probably met a few times, is a super guy. And Nathan actually reached out to Chase today, and I just literally told him, I learned this 5 minutes ago. Called him up and said, listen, if you don't have your tour card next year and you need an exemption to get into this tournament, I'm guaranteeing you a spot because you earned your way into this one. And, you know, Brooks and Chase withdrew out of precaution just because Brooks' caddy tested positive. That was really the only reason they did it. They just felt it was the right thing to do just in case they'd contracted something and they didn't want to be, you know, they didn't want to transmit it. I thought that was a classy move on the part of Nathan Groom and the tour here, the tournament here, to do that. Because, you know, these starts for guys like that are precious. Good week, you can change your life, you know?
Sure. No question. That is a great job by them, no doubt about it. Again, talking to Mark Cannizzaro. I want to get to Adams, but one more thing with the golf. Next 2 weeks are both at the Muirfield Village in Columbus, but two different tournaments. Am I correct? Is that what's happening?
You are correct. In brief, next week was supposed to be the John Deere tournament. In Ohio, and they just didn't feel properly equipped, you know, with the COVID threat and whatnot. So they pulled out of this year. So the tour kind of made up a tournament, you know, just to fill that week. You know, so you'll see a lot of players who maybe don't get into a lot of tour events. You know, maybe I'm not expecting it's going to be a star-studded field, it'll be interesting to see what guys do go there and want to play two in a row. You know, I mean, it's an interesting thing to do because you can really kind of keep that quote-unquote bubble a little bit tighter when you're not traveling from 1 week to the next. So you might find some guys just want to get some reps in and do it. But it'll be interesting to see because, I mean, I don't know how you can't change the golf course from 1 week to the next. You know, there's only so many hole locations you can use, right?
And Tiger, I guess, is playing. When it is Jack's, which is the Memorial, I believe it's the Memorial, which is Jack's official tournament the week after, I guess Tiger's playing and probably all the big-name guys are playing in that, right?
All the big names will be there. We never know until Tiger actually publicly commits, but I'd be stunned if he's not there. In fact, that's as good a bet as any. He will be there unless there's something physically wrong with him.
Right. All right, again, I'm talking to Mark Cannizzaro with the Post, who's also a big football guy. All right, your take, I'm sure you're aware as a Jet fan. you know how we draft my team drafts. So now we got a guy that's actually the real deal, maybe the best safety in the league. And of course, there's an issue. Yeah, of course, and he wants to be traded. So your overall thoughts on the Jamal Adams situation?
My overall thought, Joe, is I do not like the way he's going about this at all. I absolutely understand that he deserves more money, and I believe he'll get more money in time.
Right.
And I just don't like his tact. I think he's become a drama queen. It seemed like every other day like this past week there was something. It was the video of him with the Cowboy fan.
Right.
You know, there was this Twitter stuff going on with Marcus May, and you know, then he, you know, obviously, clearly, you know, one of his people planted something, you know, with the Daily News, which is probably the least credible operation, you know, in terms of the what goes on over there.
I get it. I know.
So, I mean, you know, you got to pick your spots, and he's picking all the wrong spots, in my opinion. I get it. He's underpaid, but I wish that he would listen. I'm not in those conversations. If there's any conversations, you know, with Douglas and Jamal's people, but. Knowing Joe the little bit that I've gotten to know him, and I mean very little, Joe doesn't seem like the guy that plays games. You know, and he just kind of goes about things methodically. And here's the thing that bothers me most about it, Joe. Everybody I talked to before the Jets drafted or when the Jets drafted Jamal, to a person, they raved about what a leader this guy was. As good a player as he is on the field, they raved about his leadership and how much he embraces it. And to me, he has just acted completely selfishly, and it's been all about Jamal. And it's an anti-leader. I mean, right now, I don't know what the locker room thinks of it. I'm sure there's a lot of guys. I know factually that there's a lot of guys that roll their eyes about some of his rants during the season. Never seems to be Jamal's fault, as you probably know. And to me, that's not leadership. So I'm very disappointed, mostly at the lack of a team leader that I thought he was going to be to go along with his great skills. You know, I just think use a little patience. And by the way, he first started ranting about his contract right around the time when this COVID pandemic started. To me, which was horrendous optics when you've got half the population out of work. I mean, I hate the way he's going about it. And if he was sitting right next to me, I'd tell him that. You know, I just don't like it. And, you know, I don't think the Jets are going to trade him. I think they're going to say, you know what, get your butt to freaking training camp. And if you're not, you're going to get fined 40 grand a day or whatever it's going to be. And whatever the number is, I don't even know what the number is. It's the new CBA.
Sure.
It makes
it
very restrictive. I can't remember. My colleague, Brian Costello, put something out the other day. The new CBA makes it very restrictive. So he's going to lose a lot of money if he doesn't show up once training camp starts. So let's see how much of a leader he is if he doesn't show up or does show up and keeps his mouth shut and just, you know, and leads. I mean, let's bottom line. Jets have lost every year he's been on the team. So how much has he helped them win?
No. Well, I mean, look, they haven't had – you know, they haven't had a lot of help around them, I'll tell you that.
No, they haven't. But, you know, if for somebody that wants $17 million a year, you better be making more of an impact than you've made so far, okay?
Shouldn't Douglas talk to him, though? I think he should go to Texas and try to talk to this guy. I mean, that's me. I mean, you don't think that should happen, right?
I don't disagree with that at all, Joe. I we don't really know what Joe has done and hasn't done.
We don't.
You know, I'm sure they're not happy with Jamal's chirping, but and listen, Jamal has zero leverage.
No, I know that. Right.
No,
they got
him
for two more years, and they could still franchise him as well. So I know.
Absolutely. So he can squawk as much as he wants. All he's going to do is further damage his reputation, which is already taking a hit right now.
Right. So you think they won't trade him, but they won't pay him? That's assuming we have football this year, because I'm still not sold we're going to see any of these team sports, Mark.
Yeah, listen, we take nothing for granted right now, obviously, but when it comes to that. But I don't see – listen, they would have to be absolutely blown away by a trade-off or something just so ridiculous they couldn't pass it up. And I'm not saying they're not going to pay him, but, you know, maybe – yeah, the other issue here is obviously we don't know what the salary cap's going to turn into all the money these teams are losing this year. So I'm sure any team that's smart, any general manager that's smart, has got to protect the salary cap. You know, they have to protect the roster right now. And you can't just go out and give a safety $15, $16 million a year on a long-term deal right now when you don't have to. And maybe to your point, and if he hasn't done it, and maybe it sounds like he hasn't, maybe Douglas needs to go and sit down with Jamal and say, listen, just chill, okay? We're going to get something done here. We want you to be here. I've said publicly I want you to be a Jet for life.
Correct.
You know, maybe there's a play there on his part to go do that. But, you know, there's no reason for the Jets to write a check tomorrow. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Talking to Mark Cannizzaro, I want to get your thoughts overall, too, on what I've been saying. I mean, I'm not sold that we're going to see any of these sports. I said all along we'd see football. I pray we do. You know, I can get by without everything else. Football, I'm not getting by without it too good. I got to tell you that.
No, I know that. You can do it. You can do without the Knicks, which we're doing without anyway. So right. That's already done.
The golf, it helps that I got golf and to play golf and watch it. So that does, you know, that's a good thing for me, no doubt about it. But do you think we're going to see any? You think we'll see baseball, basketball? You think it's going to actually happen? What do you think?
I think we will. I mean, I think everybody's tiptoeing into it. You know. I'll use yesterday as just an example. It was so many rumors flying around here yesterday with the golf, you know, with Koepka withdrawing
and Mattel, all these guys.
And all of a sudden, you know, the tour commissioner, Jay Monahan's calling a 2:00 press conference. It almost felt like a deja vu to TPC Sawgrass when I was there when they canceled the whole
thing.
You know, So I feel like there was an air of panic, you know, in social media yesterday. There was a lot of, you know, hot takers that were like, oh, you got to shut the tournament down. You got to shut the tour down. At the end of the day, the tournament, I mean, the PGA Tour has done almost 3,000 tests between the Corn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour in the last 3 weeks, and 7 people have tested positive.
Right. That's a very low percentage.
Very low percentage. So my point is, I don't feel like there's a reason to panic. You just have to continue to be careful. And listen, God forbid, if by next week there's 20 cases,
right?
Well, you know what? Then they got to take a pause. But so I think, you know, basketball and hockey, you know, and baseball. You know, I think they're all going to give it a try. There's, you know, the bottom line is the bottom line is the bottom line. There's too much freaking money involved here. These guys can't let it go. I mean, they you know, listen, let's be honest. That's what's drawing this thing. You know, there's no accident that they're playing this tour right now with no fans. There's TV money involved.
Of course. Mark, it's always a pleasure. Are you going out to Columbus for those two tournaments?
Yeah, so I'm going to go out for the actual memorial, Joe. I probably won't go out for the first one. You know, I'll kind of monitor it and see what the field's going to look like. But right now, the plan is just to do the memorial, which is where, you know, where we expect to see Tiger for the first time, which will be interesting. And obviously, that's always a great field there. So, and that, by the way, is the first, at least right now as we sit, that is the first golf tournament that's planning to allow fans in. The plan is to be 20% capacity. Mm-hmm. Which is 8,000 fans per day. So that's a whole other hurdle that they're, you know, the whole tour is going to be trying to get, you know, leap, you know, come 2 weeks from now. Now, whether that happens, you know, we'll see what happens. But right now, that's the plan. So that'll be interesting to see.
Before I let you go again, talking to Mark Cannizzaro, who are you liking this tournament? I know Mackenzie Hughes is out with a nice 10 under today, but overall, who do you like here?
Well, it's hard not to like Rory. Obviously, he's number one in the world, so it's kind of that's not exactly going out on a limb. But if you had asked me yesterday, I would have thought the guys that were hot coming in here, like Daniel Berger, who I don't even know. I haven't seen his name anywhere.
I haven't seen him on the leaderboard. He's been red hot.
Berger, obviously, he wins Colonial, and he was right there.
He was right there last week. He had that chip in for birdie on 17 last week, too.
Yeah, that was a great shot. But I tell you what, one guy, not that he's a sleeper, but Sergio Garcia shot 6-under today, and he's a great ball striker, as we know, and he played pretty damn well last week, too.
He did.
So, he's a guy that, you know, none of us has paid a lot of attention to of late. I could see him continuing, you know, a nice run. But, you know, Rory, you know, kind of the usual suspects, you know, Rory up there. And, last I looked, Spieth was 3-under early in his round.
Yes,
and,
3-under.
I don't know if he's still 3-under. But
yeah, 3-under. He's still 3-under. JT, I'm just looking at it now, he's +1, Justin Thomas.
Yeah, I saw he was struggling, which is kind of weird. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Spieth obviously won here in 17 and in dramatic fashion. So, the two guys I was going to say before the tournament would have been Webb Simpson, who won the previous week, and Daniel Berger. Well, Webb obviously WD because somebody in his family tested positive.
Right.
And Berger, again, I haven't even seen his number. But, it's only the first day. But, yeah, I could see maybe Sergio and maybe Rory keeps it rolling. It'd be interesting. You know, what's interesting, too, quickly is, you know, Mickelson shot 6-under today. And the USGA just came out with some new guidelines in terms of their qualifying process for the U.S. Open, which obviously they don't have the local and sectional qualifying. So previously, it was top 60 in the world rankings get into the U.S. Open, which, and Phil, I believe, is 61st right now.
Okay.
He would have been on the outside looking in. Now they've gone to top 70. So right now, Phil is in the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, where obviously he crashed in 06. And, If he keeps this thing keeps going and plays well this week, that'll pretty much cement it, because that'll move his way up the rankings. So, you know, it'll be good to see him back at Wingfoot, because that'll be a great, you know, in September, which will be a great subplot to the week, because, you know, for everything that happened, and obviously six-time runner-up at the U.S. Open. So, Listen, he's right in the mix, too. Be cool to see him keep it going, too, this week.
No doubt about it, and hopefully by the time we get to Wingfoot, I can, we'll be able to go to this tournament, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
that would be good.
As of today, the USGA is still holding out hope to have fans. They said they're, you know, but they're still, right. You know, they're just, unfortunately, you know, the U.S. Open is, because when they pushed it to September, they've had, like the NFL to a large degree, they've had, you know, the benefit of some time. And you know what? You know, I think, you know, in 2 weeks, if 8,000 people go to the memorial, that's a little bit of another trial balloon that the PGA Tour will be throwing out there. So everybody will be watching that, you know. So if that works out well and there's no hiccups or whatever, then, you know, maybe that's a blueprint. Listen, there's no way there's going to be 30,000 people at A-Wingfoot, but if you get some people in there, that will be fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Mark, always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the tournament up in River Highlands, up in Cromwell with the Travelers. And we'll talk to you soon, all right, man?
Anytime, Joe. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, Mark Cannizzaro of The Post.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.